Good morning. A few messages and family news this morning. Sue Doherty's funeral will be here on Wednesday the 25th at 12:30. Nanette Stribling passed away last Sunday. And Kathy is in hospital, and Malcolm C has had his hip op successfully and is now home with painkillers. Right. Message from Sally. Commitment for life envelopes to be handed in by the end of the month, please. A thank you to everybody who donated food last Sunday for harvest. This has been given to Food Bank and Lawrence House and was gratefully received. Please sign up for lunch next Sunday, and it is also It is Paul's welcoming service with a faith lunch afterwards. There are still seats left on the coach for the free choir festival of church music at St. Albans next Saturday. Rush quickly to see David to get one of the tickets. Okay. Anybody interested in being an elder? Please note there are forms at the back of the church at the bottom of the staircase. For more information, speak to Christine, who has other booklets available provided by the URC. And I think that's it. So now we welcome once again Tim to lead us in worship with that big smile again.
Very good morning. Brian, would you like to sit down? It's a delight to be here. And the bad news is I can't turn my shirt down. But the good news is hopefully you'll be able to hear me over and above it. If you're new here, welcome. It's good to see you. Don't feel as though you need to join in with everything that goes on this morning. There might be some things which perhaps you feel a little uncomfortable with. That's okay. Maybe just sit out and chill out. Refreshments will be served at the back after the service this morning, so please do hang around and you can discuss whatever it is that you want to discuss or catch up with each other or just have a nice cup of tea. I will be leading us through our service this morning, and we'll be exploring the theme of surprising guests for breakfast. Surprising guests for breakfast. It says in Matthew's Gospel, entitled The Beatitudes, and this is taken from the Message, so it'll probably sound slightly different from what it is that you might normally hear. You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and his rule. You're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are. No more, no less. That's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of anything, of everything that can't be bought. You're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. He's food and drink in the best meal you'll ever eat. You're blessed when you care. At the moment of being careful, you find yourselves cared for. You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. You're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of competing or fighting. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. Would you like to join with us this morning as we sing our first hymn, Thy Hand, O God, Has Guided Thy Flock From Age to Age. So then, what is it? What did you have this morning as you broke your fast? What is your favourite breakfast? What is it? You know, I'm not talking about the normal everyday, just, you know, cardboard and a few raspberries or whatever it might be. I'm talking about, if you can have a choice, any day of the week, you know, what would be your favourite breakfast? It might be a bowl of muesli, might be a full English complete with black pudding, toast, butter and marmalade, porridge, eggs, Benedict, last night's leftovers. What is your favourite breakfast. Turn and have a chat with your neighbour and share with them what is your favourite breakfast. Okay then, so, hands up if it's a cooked breakfast. Oh, still, yeah, still very popular. Okay, what about toast? Toast, butter, yes. And then a nice sharp marmalade. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. What else? What else have people have? Anything unusual that people like for breakfast? Kippers, anybody? So, prunes for breakfast, okay. Anything else slightly unusual? Hold on. Say it again.
Scrambled egg and smoked salmon, Pop. Washed down with a glass of champagne.
When are you doing that?
When I go to Tenerife next week.
Oh, okay. Anybody else?
That's a Jewish breakfast.
Okay. Anybody else got any other ones that they want to admit to? No? Brian? Tomatoes? Hold on a minute. Let me just get this right.
Tomatoes? And usually grapes, and sometimes banana, but with cereal.
Now, tell me, do you cook the tomatoes before you put them on your cereal?
No, I wash them.
You wash them? Wonderful. Great, thank you very much indeed. Anybody? Oh, here we go, another one, Sally, over here.
I think my answer was basically anything that's cooked, served and washed up by somebody else than me.
What a great answer. Brilliant. There's quite a lot of sympathy for that particular perspective. Yeah, brilliant. Great. Isn't it good that, you know, unless we've not done the cooking or the shopping for a week, that actually most mornings we get up and we can enjoy a breakfast. Most days when we get to the end of the day, whatever it is that we've been doing with the work of our hands, then there is something in the fridge which we can do, or the freezer which we can do something with. Not everybody is in that place. Not everybody has a choice. Sometimes we're spoiled for choice. What I'd just like you to do is to turn the conversations which you've just been having into prayers of thankfulness. Just quietly, between you and God. Thankful for a breakfast. Thank you for the choices. Thank you for the things that you enjoy. Thank you, maybe, for breakfast to share somebody with. But just give a moment of thanks, and when you've finished, we'll say the Lord's Prayer together, which will appear on the screen. Lord, we give you thanks for the many ways in which you bless us. And we say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. This morning's, or today's, Bible reading is taken from John's Gospel, right near the end. If you've got a copy of your Bible with you and you want to follow it, then we are looking at John 21, starting to read at verse 4, all the way through to verse 15. I'm reading from the NLT version, so it might be slightly different from the version which you have in your Bibles in the pews. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, "Fellows, have you caught any fish?" "No," they replied. Then he said, "Throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat and you'll get some." So they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work, jumped into the water, and headed to shore. The others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only about 100 yards from shore. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them, fish cooking over a charcoal fire and some bread. "Bring some of the fish you caught," Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to the shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net hadn't torn. "Now come and have some breakfast," Jesus said. None of the disciples dare ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. This was the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied. "You know I love you." "Then feed my lambs," Jesus told him. We're going to stand, and if you're able to, and sing together, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross."
upon us for the offering. Thank you. Lord, we give you thanks for the gifts of money that are contained within these bags and those which are given electronically. Father, thank you for the givers. And we ask, Lord, that these gifts might be taken and used for the glory of your name, for the furtherance of your kingdom in this place. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. So this is one of those readings that you slightly think to yourself, what the heck's going on here? And the danger is that because we always know and have lived the 2,000 years since these events first took place, we actually find it really difficult to climb inside the actual events as though we were there for the very first time. And so what I'm going to ask you to do is to imagine that you're really there in the boat, having gone fishing. So imagine yourself as a fisherman and try and suspend all of the stuff that we've learnt as Christians for the last 2,000 years, because some of it, to be perfectly honest, is more baggage and hindrance than it is helpful. And what I'm going to do is just read to you a narrative from the perspective of somebody experiencing this story and of being there. So, if you're sitting comfortably, I'll begin. After the excitement and disappointment of the last 3 years, here we are again by the side of the lake, getting ready to fish. It's as though none of it had happened, all the promise, the hope, the excitement, our hearts captured by something bigger than ourselves, a revolution from the bottom up. All of it has died with Jesus in that eventful week. Even we had to consider our position and our relationship with Jesus, because people came asking really awkward questions. And to be honest, none of us came out of it very well. What a waste. What a disappointment. It's all just gone. Finished. We saw some amazing things. We shared some wonderful stories. We lived life together with a wonderful teacher who seems to understand what made us and the world tick. It's like he just knew us before we ever opened our mouths. But all of it faded away when the fickle crowd wanted a common thief set free. Even the Pharisees and the Sadducees seemed unusually united in their opposition. Our so-called leaders seemed to be both in the pockets of the Roman rulers, giving away their power, failing to act as servants. Why? Why the heck can't we ever seem to get the right people in the right places to lead us at the right times? Not all of us were there that evening as we set sail. The fishermen needed to make ends meet, and Simon led the way, as so often. And it was just more of the same, to be honest. A waste of time. A fruitless night. Was it us? Was it the fish? They can be as fickle as our leaders at times. And as the sun begins to creep over the horizon, we had nothing. Our nets were empty, not even a mackerel for breakfast. What a waste. We were heading back to shore, and a man was shouting at us from the beach. He wanted to know if we'd caught anything, almost like he was rubbing salt into our wounds. We had no idea who it was, and you can never tell the motives behind a question like that. Did they want fish? Were they looking to make a quick profit? Did they want the choice of the best fish? Were they just simply hungry? Anyway, this guy thought that he knew best and better than the rest of us as professionals. He told us to throw the nets over the right-hand side. To be honest, I couldn't quite see the point myself. After all, that's what we've been doing all night long. But the others, they were desperate for fish, desperate for a livelihood, desperate to make ends meet, and so they did. Now, this guy clearly knew his stuff. I don't think I'd ever seen so many fish in all my years of experience. There were so many we struggled to pull the nets into the boat and had to leave them dangling over the side as we headed for shore. The boat angled sharply over to one side with the weight of all of those fish. Maybe we were not back to full strength and full skills as fishermen after 3 years of wandering the countryside. Maybe we'd lost some of our fishermanness, some of our ability to catch fish. And then suddenly, Peter, always the same, was clothed and he was jumping over the side of the boat and always so impetuous. He was wading ashore, claiming the person on shore was Jesus. A miracle of fish and a wonderful catch I could swallow. But men returning from the dead was a step too far for me. I think it's a case of mistaken identity, if I'm perfectly honest. Anyway, we struggled to get the boat to shore with a man down. As we got closer, you could smell the charcoal fire and the fish cooking. And my mouth began to salivate as I thought about breakfast and I could smell the fish cooking. And I realized I was hungry and wanted to eat. Even though the night had been a success in the end, I was hungry after all the exertions. And this is where I began to wonder if I was seeing things. You see, whoever it was on the shore, they did look like Jesus. This didn't seem to be a case
of mistaken identity at all. Simon just recognised him before we did. Or maybe he was just looking for him, expecting him. But for me, well, that was just... that's just a step too far, if I'm honest. But just like when we saw the fish in the nets as we threw it over the right-hand side of the boat, and I was just left wondering, what's going on here? My head was exploding with the possibilities that this might be Jesus. But he was dead. The Romans are well practiced at crucifying people, and they know exactly what they're doing. And yet here on the shore, cooking fish, eating, laughing and joking, appeared to be Jesus. He was after more fish to cook, and Simon went and fetched some from the bulging nets. And you could feel the tension in the air. You know those difficult social occasions sometimes that we've all been in, when you spend a lot of time kind of looking at the floor and jumping from one foot to the other, not quite sure what it is that you're supposed to be doing in that space. When it seems as though there is a guest present, but you've not seen them for such a long time, or because last week they were dead, and now they're cooking your breakfast. We all wanted to ask, who are you? But we remained silent, stunned, bewildered, unsure. It was as though we'd got a bad case of not wanting to state the obvious. But ironically, it didn't seem obvious at all. The fish was cooked and we ate. It tasted so, so good. But then freshly cooked food outside in the fresh air with the best ingredients. It always does, doesn't it? The issue was the company. It was like we were home, back where we belonged, and yet nothing was the same. Everything had changed. The world had turned. From before these events to after these events. A simple meal. And yet it wasn't, was it? Just take a moment to live with whatever it is that might have just spoken to you, or that you might have experienced, or that you might have reflected on.
And again, just turn and talk to a neighbour. What did you notice for the first time? What did it make you feel as you climbed inside this story? What is it that God might be saying to you? Off you go. Why is it breakfast? Well, why wasn't it an evening meal? Okay, I'm just going to come round. If anybody is brave enough to just make a comment about what it is that they perhaps saw or that they heard for the first time or what it is that God might be speaking to them about, if you'll honor, just put your hands up and I'll come and put the microphone under your nose. There might not be anybody and that's fine. Yeah. Sorry.
It might be silly, but it's fresh fish from the sea.
Yep.
So you wouldn't want any salt on it when it's cooked, would you?
No.
But also, I hate the bones in fish. I know they're needed, but yeah. Would they have gutted it? And
Yeah. I mean, they were fishermen. They knew what they were
doing,
didn't they?
Yeah, that's it, yeah. But that's how we feel about that. You know, don't want all the bones.
You don't want all the bones.
No. And the head and the eyes.
The eyes looking at you going,
I'm a celebrity, get me out of here.
Great, thank you. Anybody else? Hold on, I'll come to Brian on the way.
She's just reminded me, because when I was in Israel, we went to a kibbutz and we ate St. Peter's fish and chips, and it was a whole fish.
Was it battered?
No.
It was looking at you.
It was looking at us.
Brian.
The story seems to tell us that there's life after death. So we have a chance, if we play our cards right, to go to heaven and meet Jesus.
Wow. Anybody else? Can you say that again, Brian? Yeah, go for it.
The reading suggests that there's life after death. And that means we have a chance to go to heaven if we play our cards right.
I'm not sure it's anything to do with playing cards, but yeah, I am convinced about the earlier stuff, definitely. Anybody else? Yep, I'll come to you. Yeah, thanks.
Just the context of the story. When we're not conscious that Jesus is with us, there can be a temptation, a tendency to go back to the way we were, the things that we used to do.
Yeah.
But once we've met Jesus, it doesn't work. Everything's different. There's been a complete transformation.
Thank you. Excuse me.
We spoke about how...
Just put it under you. Just a little bit closer to your... That's it, great.
We spoke about how easy it is to lose faith, and that we seem to blame people in the Bible that they lost their faith so quickly. But we do it every day. It's hard. And I was questioning whether I would have believed if I had seen Jesus, that he was there. Yet with the Bible giving us the story, we think, you know, because we know what happened. But it brings me to Peter. I sympathize with Peter's enthusiasm all the time. Yes, he was obnoxious. He was always in front. He always did things without thinking. But I like his enthusiasm. He's like a child who's easy to kind of teach things and to believe in stuff. So I wish I had that faith that Peter had. Yes, he made mistakes, but he learned from them as well. And then he did the same mistake again. And
jumped over the side of the boat. Yeah, great. Thank you. Anybody else? That's great. Thank you. Too often it seems to me that the Bible has become a book of doctrines and statements. And yet actually what it's really full of is stories. And the invitation to each one of us is, come on, climb inside this story and have a wander around to think about the bones. Although it might seem daft, but and the fish looking at you. But that's actually what it was like. And the danger is sometimes we keep it at arm's length. And yet actually the invitation always is to live the story, is to live the narrative of the Gospels. That actually, it seems as though there is more than just what we experience here. There is life after death. And the Bible clearly says and talks about that and gives us stories about it. Do we choose to live it? It gives us stories about ordinary people who even met Jesus and spent 3 years with him and still at the end of it turned around and said, I don't know him. And three times, because we didn't read the rest of it, three times Jesus comes back and he says, do you know what? You're okay. You're all right. No matter how many times you cock it up, you mess it up, you deny him. He says, you're all right. That's good news. That's good news. And my question to you is, what will you be doing at 11 o'clock tomorrow about the good news? Who will you be living the story with? The amazing story about a surprise guest at breakfast time. We're going to sing our next song, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. If you are able to stand and would like to join in with us, then please do so. Our prayers of intercession.
Lord, it seems every morning as we throw back the curtains and turn the radio on or the TV or read the newspaper that there is conflict in the world. And I'm reminded of your Beatitudes and the words that we read at the very beginning of our time together this morning. Lord, we pray for peace in Israel and Gaza, in the Ukraine and in Russia, in China and the South China Seas, and in Taiwan. Lord, it seems as though we are greedy. Greedy for more, greedy for what is not ours, greedy of spending too long looking over the fence, wishing we had whatever it is that somebody else had, trying to protect ourselves, and yet in a way, losing our souls. Lord, bring peace, please. Bring peace and reconciliation to the troubled parts of our world. In our own country, it's conference season. Political parties are getting together and sharing what they have in common, and sometimes what they don't have in common. And the shadow of an election hangs over us, even though a date has not been given. And as they jostle for position, it seems as though truth so often goes out of the window. Lord, we ask that you will bring wisdom, common sense, and truth-telling to all those who are involved in politics in our country. And truth-telling is not about spin, it's not about our own best interests. It's about being in the best interests of the people that they serve and that the people who have elected them. And for those puppet masters behind the scenes who so often are hidden and are unseen because they are clever, Lord, we ask that you would expose them for who they are, and the lies that they tell, and the manipulation that they bring. Because the reality is, in our country, there are more people using food banks. There are more people who are destitute. 14 million people living in poverty. Enough. Lord, we ask that you would bring justice. You would cut to the quick with your truth. The truth would speak to power and it would be exposed for what it is. Lord, act. Help us to join in with your actions to bring about change, because it's badly needed. And it seems as though everybody who is in education, in the NHS, in social services, in the service industry of our country, they're under pressure. They're under pressure to make the same number of bricks with just less and less straw. Help us to draw alongside them and to support them, to listen to them and to care for them, to join with them and to make a difference in the world, a real difference. And closer to home, we pray for this church. We give you thanks for the witness and the testimony that it has been. But as it begins to discover what it is that that might look like in a post-COVID world, we give you thanks for Rachel and for Paul. Lord, we ask that you would help them as they go about their work for you and of serving people and of reaching out and meeting young people and children where they are. We ask, Lord, for wisdom and for grace and for love to abound. And for whoever it is that you might be choosing and appointing as an elder, Lord, we ask that people would respond to the call. And if maybe they've not thought about it yet, maybe it's time that they did. Lord, we pray for this church, for it to be a beacon of hope and to tell the story of Jesus in all of its work and in all of its role within the society. Lord, we give you thanks in anticipation of what it is that you will continue to do. Amen. Our final song this morning is "I Serve a Risen Saviour." Let's just pray, shall we, before we say the grace together. It is the Lord in the dawning, in the renewal, in the arrival, in the new day. It is the Lord in the crowd, in the church, in the conversation, in the crisis. It is the Lord in our joys, in our sorrows, in our sickness, in our health. It is the Lord in the stable, in the humble, in the stranger, in the poor. It is the Lord risen and returned, alive forevermore, giving me new life, saving me in strife. It is the Lord. And we say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.